Okay, let's get ourselves back into a little bit into the sugya that we had started last week about the isur b'malik vino and boso on the shulchan. So we said that the Mishnah tells us that with the rabbanon, one is not permitted to have meat and milk together at the same table when one is eating. That will be violated either if you have two people eating one boso, one chalav at the same table, or if one person is eating one of those foods but the other food is on the table. Either one of those things would be a violation of this system of the Rabban. Of course, the system of the Rabban was made as a gazera that you may come to eat it together. What exactly that means, whether we're afraid the foods are going to touch, you're going to forget, then you can eat them together literally, that was already a detailed question. But everybody agrees that this system of the Rabban exists, and although the Gemara raises somewhat of a question whether it's appropriate to extend the system of the Rabban to Besar Ov, Besar Ov is on the Rabban, the Gemara concludes that it still is a problem. Whatever you think about Besar Ov being there, I said there are a lot of that didn't exist for the Issur HaAlah. So when all the dust settles, the Issur Shulchan Achor is a full-fledged din. It's a full-fledged gzeirah mit Rabbanan. It applies across the board to Besar Behemoth, Besar Ov, etc. However, it is clear from the Gemara that it doesn't literally apply across the board in the sense of that there are some exceptions. Well, at least in the Gemara explicitly, there's one exception to this gezeirah, and that's the exception of if the two people don't know each other. So, ein makir and zezeh, you come to a hotel, and the two people are eating at the same table, they have no idea who the other person is, and it's highly unlikely that anything's going to go wrong, no one's going to take anyone else's food, no one's food is going to touch, and therefore the issur d'rabbanan was lifted. So that kula is very, very important for us, because not only is it significant because it gives you a kula, but it tells you a little bit about the nature of the gezeira, that the gezeira was not a low plug. We already mentioned many times, there are certain yisurim derabbanan that were instituted as a low plug, that they apply across the board with all circumstances, and there are others that are case by case basis. When the reason applies, the din applies, the reason didn't apply, the chazal didn't necessarily impose the yisur. So this is clearly one of the examples of the latter. That if and when we have sufficient reason to believe the reason doesn't apply, then the gezeira is not going to apply. The problem is, at what point are we in the clear? At what point can we say that, yeah, we're pretty convinced that the reason doesn't apply? So that's what we left off last week with a question that Tosus raised about would merely doing a heker serve that purpose of, in a sense, creating a type of a scenario that there's nothing really to worry about. We'll do it differently. We'll eat in a bizarre manner. We'll eat in a strange way. And therefore, when I sit down and I'm eating my hot dog and you're eating your pizza, we will immediately be reminded that, hey, wait a second, we better be careful. We better not eat each other's foods. So will doing a heker really serve the problem? Will serve as a solution or not? So Tosfos quoted two opinions about that, about the Gemara used the phrase of tfis achas and base tfisos, that somehow it's base tfisos, it's okay. So we weren't sure what that meant. The base tfisos really mean a heker. So according to one opinion, tells that's what it meant. But the other day, it tells it meant something totally different. So assuming that that there is such a potential heker out there of base tfisos, of a heker, of putting something different on the table. So instead of me eating my hot dog and you eating your pizza on the one table just like that, we'll put down something that would never be there, something that would catch our attention. Wait a second, what's that doing on the table? That's bizarre, that's strange. That must be a heker. So that's a big machlokes 2 days in Tosfos. And that machlokes really revolves around a sugya that doesn't even, not even directly talking about hagezeira, it's talking about a different gezeira, but the Gemara connects the two and really said, figure out, will this heter of heker even work? So again, we know that there's a precedent in the Gemara for certain leniencies vis-a-vis this gezeira. That we have the sugya of the two guests who don't know each other. That's a given. So we know for a fact this gezeira of eating on the same table is not a low plug. On the other hand, just because we know it's not a low plug doesn't mean that every single case is going to be mutter. So did Chazal consider this to be sufficient ground to be mutter or not? So this revolves around the sugya of the sixth of the Ramakamos, the bottom of the first page. It's a completely different gezeira. Yiboilu, nida ma'o shetisha in ba'ala hi bevigda v'hu bevigda. So we mentioned at the end of the show last week that obviously min haTorah, so when a woman is a nida, so a couple cannot have any, obviously to have actual relations as an issakores, to have other kind of physical affectionate touching, according to many, many opinions, is an outright issa min haTorah. And in addition to those yisurim deraisa, there are lower level yisurim, what are called the harchakas. The Chazal instituted a whole series of different prohibitions Kazaria may come to do something that would be prohibited. So one of those archachas is that a couple are not permitted to sleep in the same bed. That's a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. A couple are not permitted to sleep in the same bed, even though they're not touching. They're 6 inches away from each other. They're not touching each other. But just the mere fact that they're sleeping in the same bed is problematic. That's a Gezeira with the Rabbanan. The Gemara raised the following question. Does that prohibition against sleeping in the same bed apply even if both of them are dressed? Now, just to put things in the proper context, in the days of Chazal, most people didn't sleep with any clothes on. There were no pajamas or anything. People, a person got undressed, got into the covers and went to sleep. That's part of the reason why, at least according to some Rishonim, why you have to wash the Tilsa Daim in the morning. There's a whole question. The Gemara says in Brachas, when you wake up, you have to wash the Tilsa Daim. We call Regavas, you have to wash the Tilsa Daim. Why do you have to wash the Tilsa Daim before? So there are many reasons that are given. So one of the reasons that's given by the Rosh is that since a person is undressed in the middle of the night, so his hands are going all over the place, he's going to touch different parts of his body without even knowing, so his hands are not going to be clean. He has to get up and daven. So that's the reason why you have to wash the Tilsa Daim. So again, there are many, many dinim that appear in the Gemara of the Shulchan Aruch that are working with the assumption that people are sleeping without any clothes or anything else on. The Gemara wants to know, if the woman is in Ida, maybe if the couple will get dressed and they'll sleep in their clothes, maybe that should be okay. Why should that be okay? Because that's such a heker. They're obviously going to remember, why in the world are we sleeping in clothes on? It must be a raya, it must be approved, because she's a surah right now. So maybe that would be mutter. So then again, as long as the couple are not literally touching, they're in the same bed, but they're wearing clothing, would that be mutter or not? That's the Gemara Shaila. So what interests us is the Gemara's potential raya. Amar Rav Yosef Toshma, the Gemara wants to be a raya. Ha'of only magvina ala shulchan. The Gemara wants to compare this to our gezeira of eino ala shulchan biyachad. It's the same kind of a thing. And just as there's an issur derabbanan of having ofrid gvin on the table together, so the machlekes that tenor b'shav b'sil gui paskin is lo nechol only, not allowed to do it. So maybe that should be the same. Just as Chazal made a gezeira, you shouldn't have the meat and the cheese on the table together. So too, we should make a gezeira against sleeping in the beds under all circumstances. But then the Gemara again said the nitty gritty, try to say, oh, wait a second, it's not the same. Here, there's a shinoi. Here, it's different. No one ever thought that would be mutter for the couple to sleep in the same bed undressed. That wasn't even the shaila. The shaila was that ika shinoi. So that's what the Gemara pulls back and forth to figure out. Does shinoi work? Does shinoi not work? So what's important for us is that you see from the fact that the Gemara is lumping these gezeiras together, that this is a general mindset about at least these gezeiras. These are gezeiras, don't do X, zero to Y. In the case of the need, that don't sleep in the same bed, gezeira you may be together. But don't have meat and cheese on the same table, gezeira you make up needed together. These kinds of gezeiras, do these lend themselves to shinuyim or not? So the Gemara wasn't sure about Hilchos Nida, and now we're raising the question, wait a second, maybe we should not be sure about Bas B'chol also. So the same way the Gemara now all of a sudden is raising the shayla about whether Heker, whether doing things in an abnormal fashion can solve the world's problems in Hilchos Nida, maybe they can similarly solve the world's problems when it comes to Hilchos Bas B'chol. So the Gemara continues. And let's get now towards the end of the sixth of the Maimon. So the next top of the next page, where the Gemara finally brings a raya. Gemara says it's three lines from the bottom of the end of the sixth of the Maimon Kamos, towards the end of the line. Toshma. El harim lo achal, according to Pasuk, El harim lo achal ve'enav lo nasa el gilulei beis Yisrael. It says this person, he didn't turn to the mountains, and the mountains, El harim, Kamos, used to worship idols on the mountains. This, the Pasuk is describing someone who's doing the right thing. He's not turning to the statues. There's Ashes or Eilot Timei, and he's a person who doesn't violate the Ashes, doesn't violate all sinuf. Bel Isha Nida Lo Yikrav, and he doesn't violate Ruchos Nida. So the Psukim say, for a person who doesn't do these terrible things, he's going to be rewarded. So in the same breath, the Pasuk describes Ashes or Eilot Timei, Bel Isha Nida. It compares Makish Isha Nida Lo Ashes or Eilot. It almost lumps together the two Yisroel. Again, it doesn't need to say they're identical. It does mean to say even identical in the same severity. There's no question that violating Eishes Ish is a more chomer aveira than violating Eishes Nida. As chomer as Nida is an Issachari, so it's pretty serious. Not Eishes Ish. Eishes Ish is an Issa Misa. Eishes Ish asas Mishla Bailish. This creates Mamzeiras. I mean, Eishes Ish is obviously significantly more chomer than Uchaz Nida, but still there are certain similarities. They're both Yisurei Karis. They're both very, very serious breaches of halacha. So the pasuk lumps them together. So now the Tosha Mapet says, Ma Eishes Re'ehu B'Migdal B'Migdal. So just as when it comes to Eishes Ish, nobody would ever dream to say that it would be okay to sleep in the same bed with an Eishes Ish as long as you're dressed. That would be crazy. That would be absurd. What are you talking about? Is that? So Av Ishanida, even though Ishanida, one would have thought it's a little bit less serious. So maybe Hu B'Migdal B'Migdal, I would have thought it would have been more. Kamash Mavad Asar. So that's the Maskara Sadvar. So when all the dust settles, there's an Isser Gomor, Midrabanan, one of the Achokas, one of the official assumed the Rabbanan of Achokas is that a couple are not permitted to sleep in the same bed when the woman is a Nida, under any circumstances, that even wearing clothes, even doing things strange, even doing Okhan Hekerim, none of that's going to be mad that the Isser sleeping in the same bed is absolutely off limits. The Ramon quotes from the Shayin who say that as an extension of this, not the real Issa that Chazal was describing is sleeping literally mamshim the same bed. The Ramon quotes from the Shayin who say as an extension of this that even if the couple sleeping on two beds, the two beds should not be touching one another. Because if the two beds are mamshim touching one another, they're not like one bed. You're rolling from one bed into the other bed. So that's also included as an extension of this Issa when the woman is in need. How close is close for these purposes? So it's unclear exactly how far the beds have to be separated. So different later posts have different kind of ways to assess. I usually tell people that I think that the assessment that makes very easy to measure is simply the whole idea is that you shouldn't be able to easily roll from one bed, two beds touching each other. You roll from one to the other. So the bed should be far apart enough that if you roll off one bed, you'd end up falling onto the floor. You wouldn't comfortably roll onto the other bed. You have to get up and walk over to the other, but that's what it's going to be far enough away. How far is far? How far is that an inch? I can't tell you. But that's the basic idea. You shouldn't be able to easily go from one bed to the next. So, but that's already an extension. The real Issa Gomor is in the same bed itself. And the Gemara says that this Issa applies across the board, even when the couple are dressed. And the idea being, Hekeh doesn't solve any problems here. So now we should go back to our sugya. Again, we're learning Bas Mechol, we're not learning Chas Nida right now. But remember, the Gemara lumped the two together. The Gemara compared the two. So just as the Gemara compared the two, vis-a-vis the basic Gezeira, we should now possibly compare the two vis-a-vis any possible exceptions to the Gezeira. So the Gemara just said that there's no exception to the Gezeira of Ishto Nida. Ishto Nida is also the Mita Achas across the board, even when the couple is dressed. So that would lead us to believe, just as there's no exception, just as there's no Heker doesn't solve Ishto Nida, so too, Heker shouldn't solve Bas Mecholah. So that would be a problem. That would be against Atosus. Atosus said Heker does solve the problem. And now we just wrote a Raya from the Gemara that it doesn't. So in fact, it's not our Raya. It's Mordechai brings the Raya. The seventh of the Mavakamos. The Kitzur Shel Dover. He says, the Kitzur, we can derive from our Sugya. If the two people sitting at the table eating meat and milk don't know each other, that was an Ishtar, that was a Gemara Chulin, that was the Beis Achseron, that's the two guests at an inn. I feel blushing with them. They can mamish sit down at the same table next to each other. One guy's having a hot dog, one guy's having pizza, no problem. But if they know each other, so that the Gemara says is the problem. I feel like they shimei asuma shulchan echad. He said, sorry. He says, even al yedei shinoi is not going to hell. Why? What's the mokar for the Sagos Mordechai? So the mokar is coming from the Rav Yoh. And where did the Rav Yoh get it from? From this Gemara, from this Sukkot Shabbos. The Gemara concludes that Heket doesn't work for Chas Nida. So Heket doesn't work for Chas Nida. It doesn't work for a Bas Mechol. It's the same Sukkot. That's exactly what we've been saying all along. The question is, wait a second. There's got to be a way out of this riot because Tosfos didn't buy into this. We saw the Tosfos go down. How would the Balei Tosfos explain this Gemara? So the first one explained that this Gemara is not a Raya. Because if you look carefully at this Gemara, look at the flow again of this Gemara. The Gemara started off with a theoretical Shaila. What's the difference? Heka worked for Vilchus Nidana. And the Gemara tried to compare it to Bas Mechola, back and forth and back and forth. And then the Gemara all of a sudden went down another path and called a Pasuk. Pasuk. There's about Pasuk. It's not Pasuk in Chumash, Pasuk in Nach, that's true. It's the Pasuk. So some Achronim say what the Gemara means in the end is that this is not a din klal. The Gemara is almost backing out and saying, you know, we thought we could lump all these gedavers together, and it was neat, it was b'chol, you're a dechelik alaf, you're a dechelik man, it's all the same thing. No. Now the Gemara is waiting to say, he got it all wrong. There's some very unique din, as we call it, a din prati. There's something, a special chumrah in this din of Ilchas Nida that's compared to Eishas. Don't ask any kashas. Just whatever you can't do in Eishas, you can't do neither. It's the same thing. I mean, literally the same thing, but for our purposes, the same thing. So when the Gemara reverts to a apostle, it could be the Gemara is making a bad face. We're making a 180-degree turn from where we were before. Up until that apostle involved, we thought they were talking just psychological svaras. Should we make a gzera, not make a gzera? Should we make an exception, not make an exception? Well, this gzera is the same as that gzera. It's all the same psychologically. We just assess what the risk is. And then the Gemara says, no, you got it wrong. This is not about psychological assessing risks. This is a special din that the apostle is telling us that you have to equate the Isha Nida to an Isha Zish finish, come out of end of discussion. No ands, ifs, and buts. So if that's the case, so then we have no proof that the Hilchos Bas Bechol. So we're still in the dark in the Hilchos Bas Bechol. So the reality is that we paskin kulam on the Shaila. Shulchan Aruch, we're making the Shaila, notwithstanding this Raya of the Rabbi Yod, the Mordechai. But then Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like Tosfos, that as long as there is a sufficient hecker on the table, that would be acceptable. The question is, what constitutes practically a sufficient hecker? So the Poskim say that if you put something on the table that you generally don't use, let's say, for example, I'm eating a hot dog, you're eating pizza, and we put a pitcher of water on the table, that's not going to be a hecker. If there's always water on the table, a bottle of water on the table, well, how is that considered a hecker? You have to put something that's out of the ordinary, something that's not usually there on the table. So if you put something strange on the table, you put something that's clearly there as a demarcation. The Poskim say, that's something that's clearly visible to all. You can't put a penny down the table on the corner of the table. So no one's going to see it. So you have to put something that's glaring, something that's blatant, that's going to serve as a hacker. I remember when I, many years ago before I got married, I was in the dorm for many, many years. So those who haven't been in the yeshiva dorm room, so are probably aware of the scenario. So they're not exactly known for their necessary order and everything in the right place. So we had a table in the middle of the room, and the table was kind of the central dumping spot for anything and everything you wanted was on that table. So I know we used to joke sometimes when we were eating, the roommates or sometimes eating dinner together, and we weren't always eating the same food. So if I'd be having a meat sandwich, the guy's having a slice of pizza, something, we're sitting there at the same table, and we were my kirins, and we knew each other. So what can we possibly do? Usually you think, oh, you put something down the table that doesn't belong. So here, everything belonged. The mouthwash was on the table all week long, and the deodorant was on the table all week long, and everything you ever wanted, didn't want, was on the table. So what was the heck? I remember one of the bachim said, he has a gavalik yichidish, we should clean up the table. If you clean up the table, and then, so, wow, what a hecker. You walk to the door and the table's spotless. It's like, aimless hecker, that always there. So I don't know whether that official hecker is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, but I don't think it is. But the idea being that the hecker has to be a realistic hecker. So one of the probably best at Kerem, just the most convenient and easiest thing to pull off is that the post can point out that if you're eating on a different mop, you're eating on a different tablecloth. That's a pretty big hecker. I'm eating on one tablecloth, you're eating on a different tablecloth. That serves as a reminder, hey, keep away from one another. So the post can say that the tablecloth doesn't have to be a za tablecloth. It could be a napkin also. So if I put down a napkin, I put down a paper towel or something, underwear where I'm eating, and you're eating on the regular table or something, so then that goofa serves as a hecker. So truth to be told, that helps for Ilchus Nida also, because in Ilchus Nida, we also paskin that you need a hacker. If you go backwards now, we said we were just deriving all the dinim from Nida but the Bas Mecholov, but now we're going to turn around and derive from Bas Mecholov back to Nida. What's the case of Nida? Not the case of the bed. The bed, the Gemara concluded, is off limits. The bed, forget about. Nothing's going to help in terms of a hacker in the bedroom. But there's a whole nother set of Isurim in Ilchus that maybe we can now shed some light on those Achakas after from Bas Mecholov. So we're making it about the face now. We started learning Bas Mecholov. So then we said, oh, let's discuss Ilchus Nida. Let's learn after Ilchus Nida to Bas Mecholov. And we ran to a brick wall because in Ilchus Nida, hacker doesn't help. Some Rishonim said, you see from here, hacker doesn't help for Bas Mecholov either. Another Rishonim said, no, Nida is Mocham, Nida is a special Pasuk. So we're making on that channel. But now we're going to take everything we just discussed about Heker and plug it back into Chos Nida. but not to the sleeping part of Yida, not to the bed part of Yida, to the dining room part of Hilchos Yida, in the following sense. The Mishnah tells us, actually, Imas Erev Shabbos, where that whole sugya began, the Mishnah tells us that Chazal made a gezeirah derabanan that husband and wife are not supposed to eat together. We'll see in a moment what that means or doesn't mean. They're not supposed to eat together when the woman is in Yida. Mishum hergel aveira. We're afraid lest they come to get too close and to a little bit too intimate, and then lest they be led to do something that would be prohibited. So there's an issa mit derabanan for a husband and wife to eat together when she is in Yida. What do those words mean? She's not allowed to eat together. Before we figure out what a possible solution is, we're not even sure what the possible problem. If the first have a problem, we can find a solution. What exactly is the problem? When exactly are we concerned? So if you look in the Mishnah just says it across the board. You're not allowed to eat when the woman is a zav or neither, whatever the case may be. We're afraid that the couple may come to do something that would be asur. So there is a big machlekes in Mishnayim about different dimensions of this issue. Before we get to the nuance of some of the solutions, just to understand what the issue was in the first place. So the thing about like is that we showing him, what exactly does it mean, lechol biyachad? That's lechol biyachad. What exactly does that mean? Lechol biyachad, together with your wife, which is in Yida. What do the words mean? So the Rambam understood this to mean, lechol means literally together, in the sense of eating out of the same plate. Imagine today's world, most of us usually eat food on our own plates, but every once in a while we do share food with somebody. I don't know if today's corona days, maybe we don't do it as much, but I guess maybe with people in our bubble and our family, we would still do it. We have a, maybe we should do it, not for now, but the mice and people sometimes eat, have a bowl of popcorn. It's a bowl of popcorn, and you munch it with a bowl of popcorn. I take some popcorn, you take some popcorn, you take some popcorn. So my mom's eating the basak, we're eating the keder achas. So the Rambam writes, that's what Chazal had in mind. That you shouldn't be doing. So a person sitting with the wife and munching together with a bowl of popcorn, that's a problem. If they're eating dinner, and he's eating a piece of chicken on a plate, and she's eating a foot away from her plate, and they're not mamish literally sharing food. Well, they may be taking from the same serving plate. That doesn't mean anything. So there's a big bowl of cholent and each person scooping out cholent into their bowls. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about if you have two guys eating and a husband and wife eating out of the bowl of cholent together and the big pot of cholent together. But that would be a problem. That's how the Rambam understands. And the Rambam says, no, the Rambam is right, but there are more cases that are also than the Rambam. Of course, the Rambam's case is a problem. The Rambam says the problem exists even if it's even on separate plates, if they're together. So they're eating at the same table. If they're eating in two different rooms with different tables, that would be okay. If they're eating at the same table, that would pose a problem. Just how far this issue goes. If you would take the Rambam's approach, and this issue would 99.9% of the time not be relevant for us. But the Maisa, we don't follow this Rambam. We try to follow the Shittas Araivit, and probably most of the Rishonim held, that the issue would still apply even to the way we eat. So there's a rush, where the rush is another leniency. If we would follow that, that would really knock the sister out for the most part today. The rush says that this issue only applies, even if we're eating at the same table, the tables are very, very small. We know this already from the days of Masechet Pesachim. At the end of Pesachim, Arvei Pesachim, so the Mishnah Gemara describes about when you're sitting around at the Seder, so when there's right before the Manashtana, they would remove the table. When they remove the table, they come in and pick up a whole dining room table, move it away. No, it's ridiculous. In the olden days, they didn't have such big tables. Everyone had almost like small tray areas. Each person ate on their own little tiny kind of quasi-table tray area. So then it was very easy just to come and remove the table from the balasay there, that would be a tremendous heck of it. Kids will start to ask questions. So we don't really do that anymore because it's just completely not practical. You know, so bring six guys to go moving out a fully decked out dining room table. So with the Rishonim, right, we have a different custom connected that practice in the Gemara. The whole idea of that practice was just to get the kids to ask questions. So what we do is we remove the seder plate off the table. That's why it says right from Mishana, so the person who's leading the seder picks up the plate and holds on to it, his lap, it's down the side, whatever. Okay, takes it away from the table. So that's almost like watered down version of Silik HaShulchan. But in the days of Chazal, it was very common. People would eat in smaller kinds of areas, small kind of trays and tables. So the Rush writes, that's what Chazal had in mind. When you see a husband and wife huddling around, around a small tray, normally each tray with one person per tray. So husband and wife eating together, I wouldn't eat at the same tray with my cousin. I wouldn't eat at the same tray with my neighbor. I brought a guy over from shul for lunch, and he's not going to eat at my tray. He's going to have his own tray. The only people who would eat together, close proximity like that, are going to be husband and wife. So that's what the Chazal didn't want to happen, because if the husband and wife are eating together in their own tray, they don't have them sitting on top of each other, so even though they're not literally touching, so that would pose a problem. That's the gazer that we're concerned with. But if a person's eating at a table with his wife, he's eating at one end of the table, his wife's 6 feet away, the other end of the table. So what's going to go wrong? What's the fellow problem? So that's what the Rush writes. So he thinks that the whole issue doesn't really apply to the way our tables exist today. But Shukranach, we don't really follow that either. Shukranach, we assume that the issue of the Rabbanim of the husband and wife eating together applies. Even if it's not only the same small tray, it's not the same plate, that's the bowl. The fact that they're eating together, that in and of itself could pose a problem. So what do you have to do? So come to Rishon and say, make a hecker. Do something that's different. Do something at the table that looks a little bit different. Where did that come from? So the Torah says it came back from Bas B'cholam. Because again, according to Tosfos, when the Gemara says only Tfisa Achas is Asar, the base Tfisa is Mutar. Tosfos touched up, first explained that the phrase base Tfisa means to hack here. It means you're eating in a way that's not normal. So you see from Tosfos' interpretation of the Gemara, which again, the Mordechai didn't accept, you see, we pass like Tosfos, that making a hacker does solve the problem for eating an ochos nida. So now we can extrapolate back to, I'm sorry, it solves the problem back, I'm sorry, ochos bas b'cholam. We can extrapolate back to ochos nida. So now we have a strange thing flying, that according to Tosos, we know that a hacker works for bas b'cholam. We know that a hacker does not work in the bedroom, ochos nida. That we know for a fact. But just because it doesn't work in the bedroom, that's because it's a special pasuk. But otherwise, in cases of dining room, in cases of eating together, so then we could fall back on the regular rules that hecker would work. So it comes out that there are really three different areas of halacha that we're questioning whether a hecker would solve the gezeira the rabbanan problem. One was eating bas b'cholam. One was eating with your wife, which is an ida, and one is sleeping in the same bed, which is an ida. So when it comes to sleeping in the same bed, that's out of the question. That was a posik that trumped up the finish. That no hecker ever going to work. That's not going to happen. When it comes to the issue of eating, both in terms of bas b'cholam and in terms of ochos nida, so we have a machlekes harishon whether hecker works, and we are lenient that hecker in fact does work. So that's how we follow the halacha. Bein in ochos bas b'cholam, bein in ochos nida, that a sufficient hecker would solve the problem. There's a further question: what would the din be as follows? What if I don't have a little hecker, but what if I have other people around? Could other people around almost in a sense serve as a hacker also? So now we can raise that question both in terms of Ilchus Bas B'cholam as well as in terms of Ilchus Nida. What would that look like? So if you take a look at the eighth of the Marmakamos, that's the second line, it's a Pische Chub in your day and Ilchus Bas B'cholam, so Pekhes. The second line, the Ayyavich was Masas bin Yamin, B'yam Tzad Chub, the Mash B'sham. Comes the special quote of Masas bin Yomim. It says that there may be something that's almost better, more successful at mitigating chayt if you have other people around. So if one guy's eating his pizza, there's nobody around to remind him to be careful. So then in the spur of the moment, in the heat of that moment, and enjoying that pizza, enjoying the hot dog, you can take a bite from the other guy's food. So that's a problem. But if you have other people around, and they're not eating bas b'cholam, they're sitting around, they're eating something else, they're not eating all together. So all of a sudden, they're going to see two people biting from your hot dog to your pizza. Stop. That's also a shtickle hacker. It's better than a hacker. So the tshuva raises this question, that maybe having other people around could solve the problem. Now, if you take this to its logical conclusion, so that it should solve the problem of chesed also, because we've basically been equating these two areas, except for the case of the sleeping. The sleeping was more chomer for obvious reasons. But in terms of the eating, so the degree of concern, both in terms of eating with your wife and she's an ida, and eating bas b'chol together at the same table, so those issues were pretty much on par with one another. Works for one, it'll probably work for another. And if the Pesachuv is quoting the Mas Bin Yamin, who's now convinced that that having other people around will solve the problem, so then we should say that's equally true, both for Bas B'chol as well as for Chos Bin. That's the chur with the Din should be. So here, the Pesachuv, many Bas B'chol say that is not correct. Here, once again, Uchas Nid and Uchas Mos Mecholah part ways. And they part ways for the following reason. Because although they're both gazeres, they're up on them. We're afraid, don't do S because you didn't come to Y. They are psychologically different. And what we're trying to accomplish in terms of preventing chait is different from one another. When it comes to Uchas Mos Mecholah, there is no great emotions going on here. There's no great, there's no great concern of somebody, you know, in the heat of the moment kind of thing. When it comes to Hilchos Mecholah, it's a very practical question. Namely, doubtless, are you going to forget you're eating meat and think about the guy's pizza? That's all it is. You're eating pizza, are you going to forget and think about the guy's piece of chicken? That's what we're really concerned about. So we have to figure out, we have to assess, is there a way to physically, you know, in a sense, remind you not to do that? So if I'm eating meat, you're eating milk, and we have a bottle of deodorant sitting on the table between us, that's given a problem to remind us not to do that. Or if I'm eating on my tablecloth, you're eating your tablecloth, and we're going to remember, hey, wait a second, why are we eating on the same tablecloth? Terrence says, well, I'm flushing your milk. So when it comes to the Muslim Kholam, it's very, you know, very simple, straightforward. The yak, a nishtek, a yak, a nishtek, that's all it matters. When it comes to Muslim, so what we're worried about is the ambiance, we're worried about the atmosphere. Worried about that the couple, it's not that we're worried they're going to take bites out of each other's food. That's not really the problem. The problem is we're afraid that the eating is going to create a certain atmosphere and certain mindset that's going to lead to one thing, to the next, and then the couple's going to be do something that's wrong. So we have to nip the problem in the bud. We have to either, in a sense, remind them that she's in need. So the way to remind them she's in need, if they're eating dinner and they're staring at a lack of a better bottle of deodorant as we're eating dinner, that's not going to create that mindset. That's not a candlelight dinner. So the fact that there's something on the table that's clearly saying stay away, so that's going to create the mindset that's going to be safe for them to eat together. Or if you have other people around, having other people around, the other people may not remind them not to do anything wrong. That's not the problem when it comes to neither. When it comes to the problem, neither is not the direct, don't do A because you need to be. Don't do A because A is going to create an environment of chay. So if there are other people around, then it's not going to lead to that. Because that's not the romantic, that's not the candlelight dinner that we're worried about. So when it comes to Mas-Mecholah, we have to know, will what I'm doing actually prevent me from eating Mas-Mecholah together? So a hacker may do that, but having other people around may not do that. Whereas when it comes to this needing to have the other people around, it's not that the other people are going to remind them she's a need. They don't even know she's a need. They're not going to remind them. But clearly, this kind of dinner with other people at the table is not going to lead to anything. So husband and wife eating together quietly, you know, in their own home, no one's around, that's a red flag. But they're eating, and then you have to do a prop back care, whatever they are. But if they're eating with other people, that should be okay. So that's a big machlekes at Paiskim. So there are some Paiskim who like this hat there of other people around, others don't. I think that, again, in Mos Mecholah, one shouldn't rely on it because of that, this svar l'chalei that we're saying. And Hilchos Nida, I think those who want to rely on this school have a right to do so because combined with the fact that we're not so sure that this issue really applies as much as that husband and wife eating together because when the Rambam, the issue only applies from the same plate, literally. When the Rosh doesn't apply to larger tables like we tend to have. So we have a couple of svaras that we've shown to be making anyway. Again, Chukhanoch, we don't pass it like either the Rambam or the Rosh. But the tzir of those we've shown them, I think we have a right to be making like those folks will say, the couples are going to be in their other people around. So this would be a great cool because other people might be your own kids also. Again, as long as they're not little babies, little 2-year-olds, that can help. But once the child's old enough to know what's going on and create the breakup of that atmosphere, so then I think it would be okay to eat your adins. I think that's why a lot of people are making on. So they have Shabbos guests over, many people are not with that the wife has to sit in a separate placemat or something. Well, most people are not, many people are not, most many people are not for that. And I think they're relying on the fact that at least in the needed purposes of the people around, that's a good enough for tzad. Okay? Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, next week we'll continue. There's one other Nakuda just to the beginning of this year related to the need, the Mos Mecholah of comparisons and distinctions. And then we'll move on to the next part of this gezeira, whether this gezeira of eating meat and milk at the same table applies to other yisurim as well. It's a very common shadow person eating at work, and the co-worker, non-Jewish co-worker, sitting down and having a burger, and I want to put down my food at the table. Is that considered to be a problem? This is served only by Mos Mecholah, does it carry over to other yisurim as well? That's next week.